Hello?
When she tells you, when she turns the mic over to you,
Okay, I
click on that
think.
lock.
Okay.
Are we on?
Okay. Okay. I have Jacqueline on the other line trying to help me wade through this maze of technology. So, can anybody hear me right now?
Happy Halloween. I think we're on, Tom.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
All right.
Okay, you're welcome. Love you. Have a good show, program.
Thank you.
Okay,
There you
bye.
go.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. Say goodbye to Jacqueline.
We can do our own page.
Let's see where we are.
We're just doing a little catch up here because we had some a snafu.
We're at NTI Acts chapter 15, page 240.
Page 240. That's all I ever need to know is the page. All right, we're gonna start out with the prayer that
Bye, Kathy.
start out with a little prayer that that when things seem to be difficult or they seem to be complicated, that there's no need for any excitement, no need for any fear thoughts, no need for any rushing. No need to give meaning to anything that I'm doing, because I could feel it start to come upon me anytime I have anything to do with the technology side of anything. We're coming down to a timeline. I could feel myself identifying clearly with the ego, with the person, with the one who is giving meaning to exactly what's happening here. And it's just a very slice of life that's just passing through and has no meaning whatsoever. So, to just keep present in that knowledge. So we're going to begin with NTI Acts chapter 15. It is on page 240.
Did you want to say a prayer?
That was my prayer.
Oh, that was your prayer. Sorry, I beg
Yeah,
your pardon. Okay.
to
To not get caught up.
yeah, not be upset,
Yeah.
not be caught up in the minutia, making it important or anything to get stressed to, and it's nothing to get stressed out about. It's just
It's
because
time to go on
I
the
caught.
air, and the ego would say,
Yeah, and
"Don't
I'm,
let people down. Oh
I
my
can
gosh,
feel, I can feel that,
the
I
pressure of
feel
that."
the human condition, the expectations and the conventions of conformity and what's expected, and as if that has meaning, and it doesn't, and I only punish myself by believing that it does, so
Okay.
I'm
You ready to read then?
ready to read. And I'll do the reading, and Connie's full of wisdom tonight, so.
Full
Okay,
of
so NTI Acts chapter 15. The way of the world is varied and chaotic. It was just like that. That sentence right there. Yeah, it felt, but it was my choice to interpret it as varied and chaotic.
Right.
Because really, there's only one thing happening, and the chaos is my imposition upon it.
Good.
The way of the world is varied and chaotic. Even within his dreams, the Son of God cannot abide in chaos. And so laws were given to him that he may govern himself until the time had come when he would accept inner governance instead.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Because you can really get that without some laws.
Yeah.
We're gonna feel that chaos. So the Holy Spirit says, "Okay, go ahead and follow these rules for a while, and then,
Right. And with
and then when you start getting the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you won't need those anymore."
And without those temporary laws, we would have blown up this planet 10 times over by now.
Right.
So it's absolutely true that we can't tolerate chaos. There is a recognition of insanity at certain degrees. At extreme degrees, we have a recognition of insanity. At the more subtle levels, we don't quite have the full grasp of that. When you have opened yourself to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and given your willingness that you should be led by Him, it is also time to lay the laws and rules aside as laws and rules that govern you. And I guess that's to not judge your actions, to stop judging your actions.
Well, I just think it's just real sweet because the Holy Spirit's saying, okay, you need the rules of the world for a while until you're able to tap into to hearing me, and then you can give those rules up because now I'm going to lead you.
Right.
So sweet, sweet, sweet.
Yes.
I'm not leaving you in this chaos. Okay, grab onto something, grab onto the rules and laws of the world. Be safe. Okay, now we can start letting them go because I've got you now.
Right.
How
Oh,
sweet.
that is darling, honey. Thank you.
Yeah.
Be not confused by this statement. This does not mean that you are to be guided by chaos if you are to be acceptable to God. This means that you are to do what you have already set out to do. You are to be guided by the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit, which is not chaos, but love. The inner guidance of the Holy Spirit will guide you according to the law of love. But it is not the law of love that you have known until now. You have followed laws intended to protect you from chaos. And again, the laws you have followed basically have been set up to protect the body mind.
Yeah, so you don't, so you're not in a panic all the time.
Right,
There's
right.
some structure. I noticed in some of these movies that we do for our program
Yeah,
that
Movie
some
Watchers Guide.
yeah like that show that one that you what was that movie that you wanted to watch and we did
The French one?
yeah the French one
Café de Flore?
yeah. And one thing I wanted to point out when we were discussing that was there was times that I was really uncomfortable in that movie because I didn't know what was going on. It was a little too chaotic. I hadn't gotten my bearings. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't figure out who was who and make the
Right.
connection between, this lifetime and the last lifetime. And it was just, it just didn't set well. It was just a little too chaotic for me. So
Right.
I think that's what he's talking about here is once again, we're just, you've had some laws and you've been following them and now it's time to go with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we're gonna and even your laws that govern what love is, we're gonna re-examine all that
Right.
and we're gonna see it from the Holy Spirit's point of view, which is going
Yeah.
to be radical, new, different. Hang on, let's go.
Yeah. And even as you're watching that movie, your purpose is to be led to the truth. But there's still that conditioning within the mind which says, I'm not getting this. I'm not being, I
Right.
can't piece this together. I can't see where this fits with this, where the, and so you
So
can
it's a
still
little
see that.
scary, yeah.
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit's trying to reassure us here.
Okay.
Okay.
The law of love knows not of protection or of chaos. It knows only of truth. And of course, it knows not of protection because the only thing that we ever try to protect is the body or our personality, the mind, the psyche.
Right.
And neither one of those exist.
Yeah,
in the Holy
they're
Spirit.
Not real, not
right.
really real.
It knows only of truth, and it leads each one from the belief in the possibility of chaos to the truth that chaos cannot be.
All right, thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, read on.
You do not know the laws of love, and so you cannot judge what they may be. You cannot judge the laws that are given you to govern your behavior as you walk this path with me. Therefore, I ask only one thing of you. Do not judge for yourself on what you are to do or what you are not to do, for you truly do not know. And what is right for one to do may be different from what is right for another. So you cannot judge your brother either.
So don't be looking for a formula.
Right. All that you can do is listen for my word and trust that all that is given for you to do is right for you. And all that is given to your brother is also that which is right for him. And this is just the implicit recognition, humbling, saturated with humility, that we don't know a gosh darn thing. We don't know anything.
Right.
And that's when we have the resistance, it's because we think we do.
Yes.
The resistance is saying, no, I know something else. I know something else is true. I know something. I'm conditioned to something else being true. And this is saying, you don't know anything. Again,
right.
It's telling us, you think you know something? Forget it. You don't know.
Right.
Follow your own guidance and judge not the guidance given to another.
There you go.
Mm.
Pretty simple rule.
Yeah. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is welcomed by the heart in joy and recognition, for the heart knows the guidance that is right for it.
Well, go ahead and read the next sentence. Yeah, because it says it. Trust not your thinking mind.
Trust not your thinking mind, which will consider and weigh and compare and judge against chaos and the desire to avoid all that may be painful. These are thoughts of fear. Thoughts of fear are only useful for bringing more fear to you.
Yeah, so I love that sentence. It says, the guidance of the Holy Spirit is welcomed by the heart in joy and recognition, for the heart knows the guidance that is right for it. So, you know, really it's telling you to be guided by inspiration.
Mm, right.
The Spirit of the Holy Spirit, inspired.
Right.
And you can feel that in your heart. And in fact, when that fear comes up and you go, oh, what do I do? You gotta realize that you're not even gonna be susceptible to the hearing the Holy Spirit if that fear is in there. So that's gotta dissipate completely.
Right.
To even have a chance at hearing the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Sometimes when I get ready to make a choice, I don't know the choice to make, but I can hear the fear in why I might make this choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, that's sure not it.
Right. Yeah.
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 So now, I mean, it's kind of that thing that Jacqueline's always talking about, it, whether it's expansion or contraction. So am I feeling expansive, the joy that's associated with the Spirit, or am I feeling the contraction that's associated with guilt and fear?
Hmm. Right. It is. You can feel it in your heart.
Yes.
And it is of the heart, because the heart does know the guidance that is right for it. And if we're confused and we desire to be led in the right way, the heart receives the information almost wordlessly. Every now and then the Spirit will use a word or just as a symbol to convey the direction. if you find yourself in a conversation with yourself in deciding which way to go, that's not the Holy Spirit. There's no conversation. It's not wordy. It's not telling you, okay, this is should do it because of this, because and then this. It doesn't go like that. It comes to you in the heart, most of the time wordlessly, and it's up to us to trust that, to because we trust words, we trust explanations, we've learned to trust debate. And cross-examination and it comes to you directly, and for the most part it's wordless. It's just the recognition of an expansion in the heart. You can feel it immediately, but the mind tries to kick in very quickly with an explanation why you should do something differently. And if there's a conversation going on,
Yeah, it's probably
we lost it,
right.
you know. It'd be
And I had a really fun experience when Sarah St. Clair was in town a week or so ago, and who is just a lovely being, and is always doing everything from guidance. And what was so interesting about being with her is, I would get these prompts from the Holy Spirit, and I would say, or she might say something. I'd go, "Gosh, I just got the same thing," you know, like I was supposed to do this. And she goes, "Yeah, me too." And I'm not so good at that, doing that alone. But since she'd said it, I was recognizing it in myself. I was hearing the same thing. We were together, right? We were doing things together, and it's like I'll tell you an example. My sister who works, Debbie, are you there, Debbie? She works for a Johnson and Johnson company, I believe, and she brought in some shampoo because I had been complaining. She'd given us some shampoo before, but it was for hair that was colored. And mine wasn't, so I'd complained. So she brought me some more shampoo, and I heard you should give this shampoo to Sarah. And I thought, I can't give this shampoo to Sarah. Debbie's standing right here. It's not mine to give. And Debbie turned around and said, "Well, I heard to give this to Sarah." And said, "Sarah said I heard it too." And we'd all heard to give this shampoo to Sarah. And Sarah said, "You know, I'm out of shampoo. How wonderful."
Oh, that's so
It
cute.
was adorable. But you know, on my own, I would have said, you know, I just kind of, when the inspiration came in to give it to Sarah, I didn't act on the inspiration. I poo-pooed it.
Interesting also because there's no difference in the guidance. It's like we look at a little thing like that and think, oh, it was such an insignificant thing. Oh, it's a cute little thing, right? But actually, that comes across in every instance, in every what we consider a big thing.
How cool would it to be live from that, right?
Because it comes across. It doesn't say, oh, hold on, let me, Holy Spirit doesn't say, let me think this over. This is a big decision here.
No, it was just really sweet, and you could see how it's a perfect practice. And you know, it was just really easy to do with somebody there that lived a life, and you just got this feedback all the time. Oh yeah, I got that. Oh yeah, I got that too. But before, you know, it was almost like you didn't recognize it.
You didn't
But when,
recognize it.
but you know, when she was going, when she was saying, I mean, it happened repeatedly. She would say that, and I go, "Yeah, I got that too." And I realized that I had, in fact, heard the same thing. It was like a burst of inspiration. Give her the shampoo.
And it was also not unlike what we were going through about 40 minutes ago on the phone, where there was this common direction, which seemed like was,
Yeah, like things
was
have been laid
like
out,
things
so
had
maybe
been laid
something
out,
possible for you
and it
that might
just
otherwise not
right.
be possible.
And
Sure.
then that was a bit, that sounded like a big thing,
Yeah.
but it's all the
Yeah,
same.
it's all the same.
It's all
It's
the
whether it's
same.
shampoo or vinyl,
Right, right.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's all the same. Exactly. And that's where a lot of times we can, we can start to draw the line with saying, yeah, you can pick out my shampoo, but you know what? I'm gonna have
Can't control my finances.
right, my finances.
But I
I'm
tell you, I mean, if you can trust in that, she was. To know that the Holy Spirit is the smartest, the most divine part of me that knows everything that's going on. Why would I keep my finances from the
Right,
Holy Spirit? Why
right.
would I keep any part of my life away from the most loving, most kind, most gentle, most gracious, the best part of me that
Right.
knows everything that's going on? Why would I keep anything apart from that?
Yeah, and it's just because we think we're a person, and the person is attached to the mind. And if you think you're a person, you're going to use the mind, and there's no way around that. If you
Well,
think,
but for some reason, I think I know better than the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
which a little screwed up.
Right, it comes to, yeah, right.
Which is that whole lack of
And
trust, I
we've,
think. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, where are we, Tom? We got all carried away.
Okay. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is welcome. We're at verses 22 to 35.
Okay.
The guidance of the Holy Spirit is welcomed by the heart in joy and recognition. For the heart knows the guidance that is right for it. We actually
Yeah,
covering this ground again,
right.
but that's not, it's not too much. Trust not your thinking mind, which will consider and weigh and compare and judge against chaos and the desire to avoid all that may be painful. These are thoughts of fear. Thoughts of fear are only useful for bringing more fear to you. And interesting here is that which will consider and weigh and compare and judge against chaos and the desire to avoid all that may be painful.
Right, so
And what do we know to be painful? What we have learned in the
right.
past. So we use our thinking mind to avoid that which we have, that which the thinking mind led us into in the past that we found painful.
Right, so what we're doing is we're using our past painful experiences to
Which
guide
the
our
thinking mind
present
led us
life,
into.
which is a really screwed
Right.
up thing to do.
Right.
Why would I let the past painful experience guide my life?
Right. Exactly. Judge with the heart by not judging, but by noticing its subtle non-judgment and joy. This is the way of knowing. This is the way of finding the path you are led to follow. The
Thank you, Ben.
one who follows the guidance of the Holy Spirit will know his self because he will know his own authority. He will not seek, and he talking about authority, we feel like as you don't know your own authority if you think you're this little person on this big planet in this humongous solar system in this infinite universe filled with galaxies upon galaxies. How can you know any authority if that's it's if that's what you're identifying with?
Right.
There is no authority unless you turn to the Holy Spirit and unless you realize that you're all that is.
Yeah, so at the very best, at the very, very best, you might maneuver in this small, limited space, but it's so limited. It is so limited. What you're talking about is the ability to travel to the moon and back, or a
Right,
galaxy and back,
right.
with the unlimited capacity of the real mind, of your real self. Instead of, oh, well, do you think I ought to spend, think I ought to give somebody my shampoo?
Right. That's funny. He will not seek for the way that is best for him. He will ask.
Cheryl said, and living in the past is pissing on the present.
Oh, that's
Thanks,
true.
Cheryl. Sorry, Tom. Go ahead.
That's good. I'll take a little vulgarity every now and then. Keeps me honest. He will not seek for the way that is best for him. He will ask. And to not seek for the way that is best for him is to start to realize that you're not this person. Because if you are the person, then you are the expert of the person. The mind is the expert of the person. So he will ask, and to keep the heart open, because that is where the guidance, the Holy Spirit can use the mind to convey a symbol or whatnot, but if you're looking for the true experience of being spiritually guided, you're going to feel it in your heart. You're going to feel it in your heart, and it's going to feel like an opening, an expansion of a lack of concern and a sense of freedom. Because even as I sit here and I'm in, I still have a sense of personhood within me. There's no doubt in my mind that I can actually feel the contraction. I can feel it every moment, the contraction of the personhood. I can feel that contraction going on all the time because I've known in meditation the release of that personhood and the come upon of the Holy Spirit that fills me. And so I can truly identify the contrast between the two. And just sitting here, and this is enjoyable. Excuse me. But when there's times when I'm in meditation, I can get into such a deep groove of meditation, such a flow, that I just truly feel the freedom. I truly feel the sense of relief of having to concern myself with this person and what he needs and what he
Well,
has
how
to
great is
do.
that?
Yeah, thanks. So,
That sentence two in this paragraph of 36 through 41, he's talking about one who follows the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will not seek the way that is best for him. He will ask. And that's what we think we're doing all the time. We're thinking, well, what's best for me? Should I take this route or should I take that route? What's best for me? Should I leave all my money for a tip or should I hold back some for me? What's best for me? And that is our driving. That is how we maneuver in the world. What is best for me? But the Holy Spirit here very sweetly is saying, let's give that up. So let's just ask. Instead of doing what we've always done, what's best for me, just ask the Holy Spirit. Just say it friggin' out loud. Hey, what should I do here?
And it's always surrendering. That's the surrender. That's absolutely beautiful. The surrendering of this personal self, and the self-centered thought system that goes with it,
Right,
you
exactly.
know. He will not judge what he is to do or how he is to do it. He will know it when the time has come for him to know. He will not fight or argue with his brothers about how things are to be done. He will leave all things to the Holy Spirit, trusting in his way and in the love that is his brother's.
One of the cool things that happened when Sarah was here, we'd be talking about we're gonna do something, And all of a sudden we were talking about the maybe we're the way we were planning on doing something, and when he started talking about it, you could hear yourself talking, you could hear how it was complicated and convoluted, and
Yeah.
it just seemed so screwed up, right? And you're going, wait a minute. You know that's not the Holy Spirit. You know? It's just not, because the Holy Spirit is always really clean, really simple, really direct.
And also not to mention the fact that the way you're imagining it never turns out that way. It never turns out that way anyway, so you know that. That's funny. And also it says he will not fight or argue with his brothers about how things are to be done. He will leave all things to the Holy Spirit, trusting in his way and the love that is his brothers. And that does not mean biting your lip and being like, all right, I'm going to let this son of a bitch get his way again. All right, so it's if it's a reluctant or and it's humility. It's with a huge dose of humility that we do this. And if it's not done with humility, if it's done with strain, if it's done with holding your tongue to the and then that's not exactly what this is referring to. It's recognizing that it's not important, that it's only important that you follow the guidance. That's the only thing that's important, not
Yeah,
what it is asking to do.
and you know, if you're fighting and arguing with your brothers about whether it should be done this way or that way or which way to go or how it should be done or what's the best strategy and all, I mean, just convoluted, complicated, you know, you can feel the
Contraction.
contraction of all that. I mean, it just doesn't feel good. It just doesn't feel clean. But if you can leave your heart open to what does feel good and clean and what does feel inspired, if you can go from one scenario in your life to the next scenario in your life with that inspiration, you're being
Seamlessly.
led.
And one of the most beautiful and simple examples of that to me is when Bill Thetford, two people came to him who were having a discourse and a conflict over what a certain passage in A Course in Miracles meant and what was the correct interpretation. And he said, if that's your problem, rip the page out of the book. And that is simplicity, and that is recognizing what is the most direct path to the truth.
Yeah, it's just straightforward. It's like, it's not about that, folks.
It's
Right?
not
It's
about
not
that.
about that.
It's not about that.
Exactly. How cool.
Okay, we're going to move on to chapter 16, Connie.
All right, I'm ready.
The world is a world of rules. I have already told you that you are not to place yourself under these rules, but instead give yourself to me under my authority. I will guide you according to the law of love in order to lead you from the world to the realization of love. As I lead you to follow this path with me, I will guide you as to what is reasonable to do or not to do within the dream. That's important too, right there, within the dream, to always remember you're in the dream. And it helps it make it a lot easier to follow the guidance that that none of
Exactly.
this is real.
Right.
Trust me to lead you as we navigate the laws and rules of your seeming world. Trust me in all decisions and all judgments. Leave all things to me. I will lead you truly.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. If you leave all things to me, I will guide you in all things. You will not need to give thought or care to anything you are to do or not do. Before ye ask, I have answered.
There you go.
I will lead you to know what to do and what not to do. All that you are left to do is to willingly do as I ask and enjoy the freedom that is expressed through you.
Yeah, you don't have to figure it out anymore.
Right. Yeah. Stop. Basically, you know, when they say you're carrying the world on your shoulders, you are.
Right.
You are carrying the world on your shoulders. And it's a heavy, heavy burden because you have no idea what to do with it or what it's for or how it should go.
Yeah, can you imagine living a life where everything is, and don't forget your keys. No, go here first. I mean, that's the kind of guidance that I understand is forthcoming.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the guidance that even if you do forget your keys, that's totally cool. It's totally cool. If I forgot my keys, it's the same as not forgetting my keys. You know?
Sweet.
Yeah. Okay, I've read that already. You will find as you follow my guidance that you are welcome in the heart of God. For you have always been welcomed by God. Only you did not know it because your eyes were closed to your worth. In following me, your eyes shall be open to your worth, and you shall realize that you are loved and welcomed.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's blessed. As you realize the welcome that God has given you, you shall give him welcome. For love cannot say no to a request for love. So as you know your Father's yes to you, you shall also say yes and welcome to your Father.
You can feel the expansiveness of that.
Yeah. And I remember reading a long, long time ago in a book that I cannot recall the name of, but they talked about, it was called The Double Search. And it was referring to the obvious fact that we are always seeking God. everybody on the planet, whether they realize it or not, we're always seeking God. But, and so much more love, it occurred to me recently, it's just such a beautiful thing that the Holy Spirit is seeking me.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit is calling to me, and that, or else we never would have heard the call.
Right.
We heard the call.
Right.
But we seem to what I find that I have done is I have made it about me seeking out the Spirit, and forgetting that the Spirit is seeking me also.
Right.
And I have to remember that because that's an important. An integral part, and just such a just humbling and just loving and just,
well, you know, it's about joining.
Yeah.
So that has to be right on.
Right. Yeah. As you realize the welcome excuse me. Did I read that already?
Go ahead, read it again.
As you realize the welcome that God has given you, you shall give him welcome. For love cannot say no to a request for love. So as you know your Father's yes to you, you shall also say yes and welcome to your Father.
Yeah, it's like holding each other in your arms.
Yeah,
you know?
Right,
yeah.
Right. Running in the meadow towards each other.
There you go.
Beautiful. The welcome you see in your brothers and the welcome you see in God is the welcome you give to your brothers and the welcome you give to God.
How much easier can it be than that?
That's,
welcome
yeah.
your brothers and welcome God, and there it is. And you'll have the same welcomes. Giving and receiving are one and the same.
All right.
There you go.
There is no difference in your brother and you. And there is no difference in your feelings for your brother and your feelings for God.
There you go. How sweet is that?
You know, and there's no difference in your feelings. That means there's no difference in substance either.
Right. Yeah, how can you say you hate your brother but love God?
Right. Yeah. That's
I mean
incongruous.
Yeah.
You will find hatred in your brother, and you will find hatred in your feelings for him. This is because there is hatred in you for God. This is why you do not give him full welcome unto yourself now. Hatred is born of fear, and fear is born of guilt. And guilt is the belief that you are unworthy of your father's love. Because you believe you are unworthy, you believe that he deems you unworthy too. And so you do not give welcome to your father, because you do not expect him to give welcome to you.
I think that's pretty cyclical, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And I've mentioned this quite a few times that as my whole life, I've felt that there's this ambivalent, not even ambivalent, antagonistic force in the universe that is trying to thwart me, that is trying to suppress me, that is trying to foil my attempts.
And what this is saying, of course, is that's just
that's
an unworthiness
my projection.
Issue.
Right.
And the unworthiness is stemming from your fear, which is stemming from your guilt.
Right.
Because you don't see yourself as worthy. And if you're not worthy, then how could there be a God that would love you? How
right.
could there be anybody that would
right.
love you? Because you're just not really worthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Marge.
Hi, Marge. And Debbie was here. Debbie heard you before, by
oh,
the
did
way.
She?
Yes, she was
cool.
here. Yeah. And,
okay, so we just figured out why we've been unworthy. This
yeah.
is the prison. Okay, here we go.
This is the prison you are in.
We're on page 243, chapter, paragraph 9, or sentence 9, chapter, paragraph 2.
243, right,
243,
the paragraph
second
2.
Paragraph on the page.
This is the prison you are in. It is a prison of belief and expectations born within the imagination of your mind. Based upon what you imagine yourself to be.
Wow, what a prison, what a cycle.
Yeah, and you talk about imagination, and I'll refer to Nisargadatta when he was having a discourse with somebody who was before him, and this person could not see any difference because they were having a conversation, and he said, I see no difference between you and me. What is the difference between you and me? The guy said to Nisargadatta. He said, I am totally unimagined. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, totally unimagined. So we, obviously, we're living in our imagination right now. Mm-hmm. We have a true identification with an imagined character.
Yeah.
And he said the only difference between him, the both of them, was that he was totally unimagined.
Wow, really cool.
Yeah.
What's that say? Marge Bueller. People have been having issues with pal talk this week. Glad you're here. Marge, me too. Thank you. Okay.
All right.
All right.
I have come to show you another way to see.
Yay!
I am willing to meet you within your prison and show you that you are free even there. I am willing to walk with you to lead you from your prison, that you may learn you know your father's love. As you see the welcome he has given you within the prison that you placed yourself in, you shall see the welcome he gives you in all things that you imagine, given to you unconditionally.
You know, and what this paragraph makes me think of is our inquiry. When I do an inquiry, and I have that lift when I realize that a falsehood is fell away, and the freedom that comes from the release of the prison that I've placed myself in because of false belief, and now through the inquiry or whatever, I've just let it go, and I realize it's untruth. And it's so I really feel exactly what's being said in this paragraph, that I'm led from the prison, and my father's love is that freedom that I feel when this burden of this untrue imagining, if you want to put it that way, that has guided my life is no longer a part of my life. I've let it go, and the lift, the freedom that I feel is like being led from the prison.
And I experienced that a lot, and I've mentioned it before when I'm watching a movie like Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
When you see the unconditional love expressed and emanating from every character, that's like being led from the prison also.
Yeah.
Because when I see that, I feel it in my heart. My heart just is overflowing. And interestingly enough, as a man or as a person, it's not distinctive to men, but I could feel that emotion coming up, and it comes up as a joyful tears. But there's something in me that says, hold that back. You're watching with other people. So hold that back.
Now the rules of the world have kicked
The
in.
rules of the world, right? And the
Because men aren't supposed to cry and all
or
the other
women.
rules.
A lot of women, women hold back too, but just to see, because I'm recognizing myself right there. That's the true recognition of
Right,
myself. What I'm
exactly.
feeling, it's not wordy. It's not wordy. It's this feeling of being overflowed with joy, with peace, with joining, and with recognizing this oneness. And I just and to watch myself voluntarily hold myself back from expressing and letting it go wholeheartedly. It just I can see my still that that there's still this commitment and devotion to the person.
Right.
Or else I just
Right.
say,
Why would you do that to
F
yourself,
this,
right?
I'm letting it fly.
Stop your crying, or I'll give you something to cry about.
I don't know
I've
who said that.
heard that before. Sweet poem. Thank you.
Okay, so we're at 11? No.
Yeah,
Fifteen.
we just finished 11, so we're on sentence 15.
Knowing your father's welcome must set you free. For no longer can you pretend that you are not welcome.
Thank you, God.
And again, in that movie, I recognized my freedom. In
Right.
that movie, I recognized it. It was right there. And I suppressed it for so I could save face, to save face instead of saving my,
Instead of salvation.
No longer can you hold on to your desire not to welcome him.
There you go.
To know your father's welcome is to be welcome, and to be welcome is to be free. This is why I ask you to walk with me. This is why I ask you to trust me in all things. You do not know that you are free, and so you believe that you are in a prison. I see your freedom, because I know your father's well.
Really, this whole chapter has just asked us to be cognitive of the Holy Spirit all the time.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just kind of watching your mind. Is it contracted?
Mm.
Is it fearful? How do I feel about this? Am I, you know, what are my feelings about that? Are they, is this, am I feeling inspired?
Mm.
Am I feeling contracted?
Mm.
Am I afraid? You know, it shouldn't be that hard to be led by the Holy Spirit if we can just be open to these things. And the freedom that it's offering is here. I mean, you can hear it. You can hear that it's going to be uplifting, and it's going to be a relief.
Mm.
And a lot of the times that when I do that inquiry, it's, oh my God, what a relief to know that that's not true. It's not a burden I have to carry around anymore.
Right.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
I no longer am going to be shackled by my own screwed up belief system.
Right.
And all I have to do is stay present with my feelings and listening for the Holy Spirit. Just being cognitive enough to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, looking at this last paragraph, this is why I ask you to walk with me. This is why I ask you to trust me in all things. You do not know that you are free, and so you believe that you are in a prison. He's talking about me in my current circumstances, recognizing because everything in this world is designed to perpetuate the world.
Right.
So we're in this world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're dealing with the world on basically, for the most part, on the world's terms, as we have been conditioned to do. So it takes a real gargantuan effort, and we consider it a gargantuan effort, but maybe 2 hours a day, maybe 3 hours a day of meditation and total devotion to, because you know, it seems like if I don't have that devotion time, I can't stay present during the day. I lose it. If I don't take 2 to 3 hours a day to be totally devoted to God, he'll take those 2 to 3 hours and multiply it exponentially.
I believe it, yeah.
But if I take 10 minutes, if I take 50 minutes, okay, good. You know, but that doesn't show. If I only take 10 to 15 minutes, I'm not, to myself, what I'm saying is, you know what? You're not that devoted. And I know it.
Yeah.
You know, and I also know when I take 2 to 3 hours to just sit with myself, to just look at myself, to just look at the Spirit with me, then I can, all the remaining 21 hours of the day, thank God 8 are left to completely leave the psyche alone, except in a couple dream states. But the rest of those hours, I can manage. I feel like I'm open to the guidance because I have made a sincere and.
And I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, if I've given some time in the morning, then it kind of sets up the day.
Yeah.
And then of course this is what we've been reading here is saying, you know, don't just how did it say that? Just don't just do what's best for you, in every circumstances.
Right.
It's just make it available. Just say, hey, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do here?
Yeah.
And just be with that feeling all the time.
Mm.
And,
right.
you're making yourself susceptible to that guidance.
Right.
Oh, I think we're out of time.
We are out of time, but It was that extra time was well spent. Thanks for sharing
I
that,
love you,
sweetheart. I
John.
love you
I
too,
love
Connie.
you, Radio Land.
Love you all, guys. Thanks for sticking around with us.
Was fun. Thanks,
Yeah.
guys. Good night.
All right, we'll check out if I can drop this mic. I don't know if I.